all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ, leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code.
All right. Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm just so bummed out. I'm just so not motivated. I'm so bummed out.
Hi, guys.
This is Binary Revolution Radio. Yes. As you can hear, Voodoo Hal is on the show. I am Stank Dog. This is episode 39. I don't even want to talk to what. Tell him what the air date and all that good stuff is.
Air date will be the 30th, which is Tuesday.
I'm just so bummed. All right, I'll get it together. Let me just get a deep breath. I'm just suffering from hack failure. I failed miserably, and it's not a good feeling. But as you heard, we are here, March 30th, 2004, first aired. Voodoo Hal is on the line. I am Stank Dog. Probably already said that, and I'm so depressed. Let's go into housekeeping. Let me see if I can get my game face on here, as they say. Why don't we start off talking about hack radio? As a matter of fact, you talk about hack radio. I need a moment. I'm getting verklempt.
Okay, well, hack radio is coming along quite well. Pretty much done with most of the scheduling software, so you guys should start seeing actual things scheduled. RFA episodes, something through the latest, I don't even remember at this point, are going into the mix. Hopefully, as we speak, I'm looking at the script right now and making some changes, so by the time this airs, you should be hearing RFA in the mix.
Or sometime soon.
I guess that's all the news for hack radio I have. Oh, I guess we're going to talk about stats. We did seem to have done last week with hack and slash.
That's a good thing to bring up. That'll cheer me up. But we did really well last week. We had that was our first official airing on hack radio, as the main stream or split stream. Well, actually, it was split completely equally. We had an equal number of listeners over on Rant Radio servers as we did on our own server. So we've got some load balancing going on. We've got people listening on multiple channels. So that was really cool. And yes, like you said, our ratings were at an all-time high. So that was pretty cool. So we know the server can handle the load now, which is another test we wanted to do. So I guess we could probably jump into some emails. Reading it, it'll always cheer me up, because people always have a lot of good stuff to say. So let me jump into some emails. Maybe that'll get me motivated and going again. And plus, am I bringing you down? I don't want to bring you down.
Don't bring me down.
Even though you helped me fail, just for the record. Well, no, you didn't, but I failed on my own. Damn it. Oh, that really sucks. Anyway,
you succeeded in failing.
Well, you know what makes it really frustrating, and I know the listeners are like, what the hell are you talking about? But I thought we had a big one, and it got away. Oh, it's like that big, you know, that big fish that got away. Damn it. All right, email number one. First email we got was, didn't have a name on it, actually. But this is a question, actually, I get fairly frequently. This one says, yo, man, what is up? I am sending you this because I heard a TTY version of Down In It on your show and loved it. I want a copy. Where's it at? If you could help me locate this, that would be cool, or I guess I must make my own. Heh. all right late. I get a lot of this. People like the closing music, whatever it happens to be, and of course I mix it up a lot with a lot of independent artists, net artists, stuff like that, who give me permission to play their music. And the one he's referring to down in at the TTY down in, it was from the Telefonic Craptacular, which we were just talking about offline earlier, episode 25. And that, just like all of the closing music, is up on the radio.binrev.com page. Every time we put up a new episode, I'd say the name of who the closing music was, the closing artist, and a link to their site. So check that out. That particular one was called Spleen Harvest. So if you go to radio.binrev.com, you can go down to episode 25. I think that's what it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And click through and check out that track as well as some others. So, and that, again, holds true for every episode. I make sure I put it up there and put links to it. That's the whole point, you know, is to promote independent music and independent artists. Email number 2 was from Xzilla. And this is another one I got after my rant on how much I hate AOL and AOL Instant Messenger specifically. This one was from Xzilla. Like I said, he says, I was listening to episode 36, and I heard how you had dropped AIM because, well, basically they suck. Well, yeah, that's the understatement of the year. No later than an hour after listening, I found an ad hack for AIM, and I figured I'd give it a try. First, I uninstalled my current AIM and upgraded to the most recent version, then installed the hack. To my surprise, it worked great. There were no advertisements, and when I checked my program files, Viewpoint Media Player wasn't there. Oh, and for the record, I've never seen free.aol.com in my IE trusted sites. Just figured I'd let you know about another possible alternative. And the link, which we'll put this up in the show notes, but it's aftermath.dndns.org/AOL hack. So, yeah, again, I get emails from people ever since I think actually before 36, when I very first went off on it, saying that there were hacks and that there were tricks. And there was a 2600 article, wasn't there, a year or so ago, about how to remove some of the ads and stuff. But, you know, it was just, I got tired of it. I just got tired of having to hack AOL's crap and to break it apart. It's fun and it's all right to do it the first couple times, but then when you have to do it over and over and over again, it just gets old, and it was just the straw that broke the camel's back for me, and I just said, you know what, forget it. They suck. AOL is suck. I hope they just disappear off the face of the planet. There's other instant messaging software out there, and they've got this mindset that they're the big ones, they're the first, and they're the most popular, most number of users, and you know what? Somebody's going to knock them off. There's other competing alternatives that are just as good, if not better. So I just don't want to deal with hacking anymore. I couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. Now, the freeaol.com and the trusted zones, maybe that's been taken out. Now, again, that was something I had read while researching my problems with AIM, someone else making that accusation. And I've never looked, frankly, to see if it was in mine. So, maybe there was such an uproar about that they removed it. But, so I haven't heard anything either way, so. Anyway, yes, thank you for that email, and I've thought about it, and I've had other people give me similar hacks or mentions of different hacks and websites, and I just don't want to deal with it. Don't want to deal with it. Trillion gets the job done. Good enough for now. It has annoyances about it, but it's still infinitely better than AIM. Plus, I get to tie in all my other stuff, too.
Down with the man.
You know, and you know, the thing about Trillion that I like best is I go in there and I override the defaults, of course, but it has logging built into it. And I've never cared. I, you know, to me, an instant message is just like, you know, a quick chat, a quick, you know, couple lines of code or something you want to send to somebody, a link. And I never even thought about or cared about logging. I was like, I figured that'd be one of those features that, big deal, you know, who cares? But in retrospect now, I find myself using that a lot. I'll go back and I'm like, you know what? I sent that link to Voodoo Hal last week. Let me go back and see. You open up the window and it has the log in there. Now, it's only 1024K, but I upped it to 8. So I have a longer log of each individual session, I guess, if you want to call it that. So it's come in surprisingly handy, especially codes and URLs and stuff like that. I can go back and find that, and that's really, I've actually found occasion to use that. And actually, I was talking to InTheory one day, and I had given him, somebody had given each other a little bit of code, and I went back to look for it, and it had gone out of that 1 meg buffer. It was already gone past, so I increased it to 8 so that I'd have more room, so it would keep more. So it had just rolled off, I guess. Actually, it's not a meg. It's 1,024 characters. So, let's see. Where was I? I am so bummed. I got another email from Herbal Child, who we've known for a while, actually. I know Herbal Child, so what's shout out to him. Hey, Stank, I was watching the History Channel. Actually, this is a good one. I like this one. Hey, Stank, I was watching the History Channel today, or as we like to call it, the Hitler Channel. And I saw a show about the history of booby trapping. It went from Vietnam to present day kind of thing. But what interested me was near the end, they talked about the new form of booby trapping, viruses. They were interviewing people from Symantec, and it was weird that they were talking about it in very general terms, but then they went on to say that Microsoft has a way to fight it. What they were saying was how in Windows XP has activation codes and whatnot. Wow, what security. But it also said that if your codes don't match your system, or your OS will take a dump. We'll be polite. Well, I haven't ever heard of this happening, even in the most newbiest people I know. And how would they know anyway? You think that info was transmitted during error reports? I'm not sure and would like to possibly explore this. Okay, Herbal Child. First of all, I don't know. I can't give you a straight answer to this. Voodoo Hal, I don't think you could either. Can you
Actually, if I understood the email correctly, yeah. If we had a bunch of clients back in the day who actually used, I think, XP Home,
mm-hmm.
and Windows would XP, I know at least XP Home, if it wasn't a pirated copy, would actually force you to connect to Microsoft to validate your registration codes. And if they weren't valid, you had up to 30 days before the machine wouldn't boot. At least that's what Microsoft warned. I've never seen it actually happen, but, you know, that's Microsoft saying, you know, whatever. But also, Microsoft has a great way to fight the any virus. It's called the blue screen of death.
Well, yeah.
It can't run. It can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's true. Now, I had a machine where I basically swapped out the motherboard, you know, basically put the hard drive with everything installed into a new box with new motherboard, new processor, memory, yada, yada, yada. And it did come up saying that I had changed too many things. And I didn't even want to deal with it. What I did instead was I just installed Linux on it anyway. So, I mean, I avoided the problem completely, so I can't tell you how far or what you have to do to get it going again.
Isn't that the answer to every Microsoft problem?
Install Linux? Yeah,
pretty much.
The fact that, you know, this question comes up a lot. What information gets sent to Microsoft? And I don't think anyone can answer that question with 100% certainty. Conspiracy theorists have wondered for the longest time. You can go out to news groups and tons of websites of people asking that. According to their disclaimers and stuff on the Microsoft websites and, you know, when an application crashes and says, do you want to transmit this? If you read it, it tells you that it won't send personal information. You know, do you believe that or not? When you go to Windows Update, it claims that it's not doing uniquely identifying anything. But it's all about whether you can believe it or not.
I don't know. As much as I, you know, joke about Microsoft, I think they're at least smarter than that. If they're going to get their information, it would hopefully be from some other source. Then blatantly say, yeah, we're not going to send your personal information, and then go ahead and do it. But well, that's just me.
Yeah, well, I mean, the danger of... I mean, that's a huge... Even Microsoft is not that big that they would take that much of a risk.
Right.
I mean, the class action... I mean, they're huge. They're on how many... I'm not even going to statistics on how many percentage of desktops and blah, blah, blah. The class action lawsuit from something like that would destroy even Microsoft.
Yeah, that would be very nasty. Well, considering that European Union lawsuit, or not lawsuit, but do you read about that?
I don't think
so. The European Union is forcing them to pay like 600 million euros or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was massive.
Wow, no, I did not hear that. We might have to look into that. You know, and the other thing I was wondering is, you know, recently we talked about it on the show, and of course floating around was the leaked source code from Microsoft. And I would also think that, again, we don't know what exactly was leaked or how much or what it was, you know, which modules and stuff. But you would think if somebody would have noticed something in there, it would have been brought up immediately or brought to our attention by now, too. So we can assume that it's not there or that part of the code wasn't that which was released. So we don't know for certain, you know, I guess, like you said, you just have to use your judgment and, I guess, err in the side of caution. I don't send crash reports to anybody. Legitimate or not, even at work, you know, which of course we have site license and everything's perfectly legal, and of course I am at home too, but I'm not sending any of that to them because it's not going to help. You know, all you do is it says, thank you for submitting this, we can't do jack shit about your computer. It should come up like you said and say, please install Linux. That's the only, you know, that's the only solution. Yeah, it's worthless anyway as far as those error reports, but...
Yeah, I did some quick research, and it's $615 million, or approximately 500 million euros.
And what was that about again?
Antitrust with the European Union. Basically the same thing they went through with us, but apparently they get screwed no matter where they go.
Well, hey, you do bad things, you have to pay the consequences. All right, I have one more email. Now, this one's kind of long, and... I've had a couple emails on this topic as well, but I'm going to choose to read this one on the show because this person was pretty animated about the topic, and that's a topic that I was pretty animated about on the show too, and that is the RFID tags. So this person sent me a long email, and I'm going to go ahead and read it, and I don't really know if there's a whole lot we can add to it, but... First of all, this was sent with a real name, and of course we don't read that on the air, so real name withheld. And he says, the subject line was RFID tags, the mark of the beast, which kind of funny. He says, quote, as I frequently do, I like to frequent Old Navy and goodies for my styling needs, a.k.a. soon-to-be dirty blue jeans and old worn-out shirts. This would not be a problem, save for the fact that I have to notify the cashier of where I live to finalize the purchase. Which, as an aside, that was one thing that we've always hated about Radio Shack. If you remember, back in the day, we always hated they always would have to give them your name and address and stuff like that to check out, and they finally got rid of that. But apparently, other places are doing it, so... Anyway, back to the email. It is bad enough that I have to do this just for something like a pair of pants, but as of 2005, your favorite place in mine, Wally World, a.k.a. Walmart, will have most of its suppliers incorporate RFID tags in their merchandise. It is bad enough I need a street address to buy clothing, which is undoubtedly being sold for green to some Illuminate-like database somewhere. But in less than a year, I will be tracked no matter what. The corporations say that you will be able to opt out of RFID, but, like the spam and junk mail I receive through cyberspace in the real world, it is very iffy at best. Which, true, you can opt out of those things, but it never works. So why should we feel that the RFID opting out of that's going to be any different? And back on RFA, this is nothing new. RFA, I used to rant and talk about this a lot. You can probably go back to oldschoolfreak.com and look through some of the archives and the show notes and get some more information on us talking about that. Walmart has been on again, off again, on again, off again with the RFID, and they're tiptoeing around it because they're scared to offend their consumers and violating privacy. And last I had heard, they were only going to implement RFID in their shipping and, managing pallets of merchandise and how much gets through the warehouse and making sure, you know, to count stuff coming in and out of the warehouse properly. I didn't know or haven't heard anything since that they're going back to retail and to customers, but it is going to happen at some point. It's inevitably going to happen, I suspect. It's just how long is it going to take? Let's see, where was I? See, very iffy at best. Okay, he says, I do not wish to be tracked for just buying a Coke or even the cheap Sam's Choice soda. Which, by the way, that is crap. Have you ever had that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is just murder. Oh, I can't stand that. Ugh, gross. Even at half price, it's still a ripoff. You can get them out in the machines for a quarter.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, right? And you can get, you know, the name brand stuff for 50 cents. It's half price and it still feels like a ripoff. Two cans of crap is still not equivalent to one can of something good. Of course, some of that's bad, too. But I digress. He goes on, when I go into Walmart, I want to buy some stuff, not give over everything about me, such as my Social Security number for Radio Shack. Oh, I just mentioned that earlier. Whoops. Is this their way? Where am I at? Is this the way life should be? It is bad enough that we are marked cattle at our jobs. Should that be extended to my life outside my job? Should I have to give out blood sample just to buy a bag of cookies or a pack of smokes? I think not. Forget the corpo political, and I'm paraphrasing there because I'm trying to cut back on the bad language. Forget the corpolitical that want to track our votes or eating habits. I like that word, corpolitical. I like that word. That's a good word. They want to track our votes, our eating habits, and even if we like single or double-plied when wiping our... forget it. When wiping our asses. Forget the language. I'm going to go with the language today.
Just fuck it. Go
yeah.
For it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing justice editing his, so I'm going to read it what he's got. Okay. And even if we like single or double-ply when wiping our asses. With everything so geared to finding out what I like... With everything so geared to finding out what I like just to find out which junk to send in the mail... Why don't the corporate world ever do everyone a favor and just tattoo us with a barcode from birth, which has been done in several movies? Do we need to really be tracked and branded like cattle just to make some company somewhere that only purpose is to catalog my buying habits and sell it to the highest bidder? What if I buy maxi pads or something? What then? Well, you'll get coupons in the mail for maxi pads. I mean, that's an easy answer. I mean, come on, that's easy enough. You know, and I read this. I've gotten some other emails like this, but I wanted to read this on the email because I haven't mentioned it on the show because I haven't mentioned RFID in a while. It hasn't gone away. It's not going away. I haven't had any specific stories to bring up that have really irked me because it's just more of the same. So it's just a wait-and-see pattern right now, see where it goes. But I still don't like the idea of RFID or the potential abuse of it. This is something that definitely has to be watched carefully by consumer advocate groups and make sure that, you know, it isn't used in ways like we've talked about. And again, I'm not going to rehash it. You can go back and listen to previous episodes of Binary Revolution Radio or Old School Freak and listen to Radio Freak America, where we have beaten this to death. But there are genuine concerns over it. The bottom line is, you know, all you can do is we come on the show and we go on our sites and we write articles about the dangers of it, and people will either listen and get the word out, and it'll perpetuate and be spread, and we just keep an eye on it, and if it gets stopped, great. If it gets, you know, if you stop it early, that's just honky-dory, but it's going to come back, it's going to be here, it's not going away, like I said, and instead of being proactive, and this is the word I use on the show all the time, this is my pet peeve, so many things that people were proactive about them, and nip them in the bud early and go out and stop something before it happens. Don't react. Don't be reactive. People in general are very, very apathetic, and they want to wait till something's happened and then act indignant. How dare they take my rights away by watching everything I do with RFID? Well, guess what? If you were more educated and more knowledgeable consumer and citizen, frankly, that's not necessarily only consumerism, citizen, you would know when not only this right, but any of your rights are being threatened or taken away from. And instead of coming after the fact and they're gone and taken away from you, and then you want to whine and bitch and moan about it, why don't you keep ahead of what's going on in the world and open your eyes and see what they're trying to do to you and voice your opinions before they take your rights away? Ugh! All right, now I'm worked up. Ugh.
You're in a better mood.
Yeah, I guess I am, but I'm in an angry mood now. All right, well, anyway. No, see, now you brought me back down. Man, I'm so bummed. I hate failing. I hate hacking and failing. Anyway, that's it for the mailbag. Unless you wanted to add something about RFID.
Not really. What I would add has already been said many times, so...
Yeah. Well, let's go into the...
If they don't try to implant an RFID tag in my ass, I'll be all right.
Yeah, but what if you get 25 cents off fish sticks for that, though?
Oh, well, then in that case, they can plug my ass full of RFID tags. I don't want to see that in signatures anywhere, thanks, guys.
Maybe not only do they put a barcode tattoo, put it, like, on our hand or something where we can scan it every time. Let's make it easy for them, you know? Cover my body with a bunch of barcodes, and then when I go into the store, I can scan the appropriate coupon code from my body.
Hang on, my Bilo tags in my foot, my Walmart tags in my upper arm.
Yeah.
Oh, and that porn shop tag. Hang on, guys.
Yeah. You don't want to see this. Close your eyes. All of a sudden, all cashiers must be 18 or older. And then you're going to have people getting jacked up in alleys and getting their tags carved out of their bodies and stuff. And talk about, what are those commercials, which, by the way, are great. The one where they got the old guy sitting in a chair, but he's got a girl's voice, the identity theft.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, those are great
like
commercials.
Like American Express.
Yeah, it's one of those cards. Those are great commercials. But, man, you think identity theft is a problem now.
I just removed his arm.
Yeah, right? Just walk in and scan someone else's arm. Oh, man. Or forge, and, you know, I wonder how, you know, technology, I wonder what kind of security they're going to put on it and how easy they'd be to duplicate. Anyway, I'm not going into the future. This isn't the Jetsons or anything. We'll see what happens. Show and tell. You were working on the radio server. I don't know how much detail you want to go into that. Tell you what, I'll start off and mention that I was on Default Radio this past week with Decoder, In Theory, those guys over there. A marathon episode. I think we were like 3 hours, maybe even more than that, but it was just an absolute blast. Decoder in general, whether we're chatting on a conference line, instant message or whatever, just makes me laugh so bad. I just absolutely am sometimes in tears from laughing. He's such a funny person. So that was really fun being on there, and maybe I'll do that more often if I can. So we had a live show this past Friday on DDP Hack Radio, Default Friday. Woot! And I've been reading some Blacklisted magazine. I've done some reviews on the past shows about, you know, specific ones. I read like 3 of them this week, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but, you know, they all had the same thing in common. Advertisements all over the freaking place, tons and tons of ads, whether they were classified ads or half-page ads or full-page ads for these companies, lots of classified, it was just tons and tons of ads, a couple articles, and then just these lists. I don't know what else to call them, but lists, and like there was a continuation of abbreviations. Like the first one I read on the air last week was like starting with all abbreviations or technical for technical things, starting with A through C. I mean, I don't know. Do people want 10 pages of different abbreviations and what they mean?
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't quite. I just don't get that. And there's tons of lists, BBS listings, which again, back then, I understand it's a different time. That could have been useful, but only to the people in that area, and it's just, I don't know. Anyway, there was lists of, and that's just a couple examples. There's all kinds of lists of lists of lists of lists, and I don't know. There was a couple articles here and there that were worthwhile. There was some Amiga stuff, which was hit and miss interesting. So I'm not going to go into detail about those, but I've been reading some of those lately, and that's been about it for me besides my hack and fail. And I'm not going to talk about that. So, oh, I was right there, too. It was like you got the fish. You fought with it for a fucking day or so. You got it reeled into the boat. You put the net out there, and bam, he jumps off the hook and swims away. And it's, oh, what a horrible feeling.
Maybe people will know one day what we are talking about.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't given up. I may still be able to catch this fish. I haven't given up, but it's looking grim. It's a big ocean out there. Anyway, how about you? Why don't you talk about something that didn't fail?
I don't know. Maybe having my article submitted. I mean,
you had to go there. Oh man.
Yeah. I guess just back to the hack radio. That's pretty much all I've been doing that I can think of. Started a new job. Woo.
We got to know how that feels. Well, we're
going
to have to go into some detail about that soon when you're more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And talk about what kind of cool stuff you're doing. Yeah, that's definitely, we'll let you get settled in before we touch on that. But the hack radio stuff is looking fantastic. We talked for several hours about that over the weekend, going into some detail, working out some logistics, and I think that's going to be very, very cool. And it's forcing the two of us to enhance our strengths in the user interface department. The code we don't have a problem with. The logistics, the designing the database, the getting it to work, the functionality, but boy, getting it user friendly.
Exactly. Well, like I said, you know, if you could just get rid of the users, a programmer's life would be, you know, heaven.
Non-existent, too, at the same time, but...
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, whatever happened, maybe I shouldn't have... damn it, I should have warned you this question was coming, so if you don't want to talk about it, we won't. But whatever happened to the DVD project?
I'm still slowly working on it. Very slowly. Mm-hmm. It's just time, really.
I know that.
So I mean, we finally got the machine loaded and everything the way we want. I just haven't had time to go back and actually do it and test. But hopefully soon, you guys will get an update on that. Mm-hmm. I miss them. I miss them every day.
Yeah. Well, with changing jobs, that's just one more thing. You know, they get shuffled around with. You know, there's not enough hours in the day. There really isn't.
Well, actually, next week, I get to work 2 full-time jobs at the school. So I'm going to be doing something for 101 hours during that week.
Mm. Sleep will not be one of them, I can say.
No. Unfortunately.
Well, I tell you what, we'll give you a break next week. We'll get someone else on the show, and then you can come back after that and tell us if you survived or not. We'll see if you're still around, see if you implode or something. Or that, or you might just... go into hibernation. You might go to sleep and wake up 3 days later. You ever do that? I've done that before. I've been so exhausted that I like go to sleep on a Friday and I wake up and it's like Monday all ready to do it over again.
I think it involves a couple choice drugs, but
yeah, well, you know.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Just say no.
Yeah, exactly, kid.
Yeah, that's our story. Now we have a topic that I wanted to talk about, and I kind of forced the issue to talk about this today, even though frankly I'm not very well versed in it. And you and I have kind of been talking about it, looking at it together. So how do you feel about explaining this, or do you want to read this first, or should we?
I guess we can go for it. Just to all the listeners, it's more or less an opinion of what in the hell.
Yeah.
Is. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll read some of it.
Errant sentences. Got to remember how to do that.
Yeah, well, I'll try to skim some of the important parts here, throw some of the numbers, and then we'll talk about the realism of it, the potential of it, and the way we understand it. And by all means, somebody out there may have more knowledge and experience about it, and they can contact us. I would love to hear more, some of the details, because, again, this is just an article, an announcement. Really, more than anything, it does not go into tech details, and we are making presumption based on what we read here. So, and this is actually from NC State, North Carolina State scientists. They've come up with a new internet protocol. Supposedly been working on for about a year, if I remember reading correctly, and it's called BIC-TCP, or BIC-TCP, which stands for Binary Increase Congestion Transmission Control Protocol. Now, they've been testing and doing comparisons between that and some other proposed protocols, and this one has been far and away the highest. It has the best stability, fairness, scalability, et cetera, to other protocols. From everywhere from California to University of London, lots of testing they've been doing on this, and it's consistently scores well. And let's see... I hope I don't butcher this guy's name because this is really a cool thing if it could be a cool breakthrough. Dr. Injong Ri, Associate Professor of Computer Science, says BIC, I'm going to call it BIC for the rest of the show, BIC can operate, given the appropriate medium, at speeds approaching 10 gigabits per second. Gigabits per second, which is roughly 6,000 times that of DSL. And 150,000 times that of current modems, which, you know, if we want to compare, I mean, that's just staggering. 6,000 times DSL is staggering. So it says this may eventually translate into music downloads in the blink of an eye. The potential value of this protocol is a real eye-opener. Now, it goes on to some detail of where this was announced. Again, this is kind of an announcement. It doesn't give us a whole lot of detail. But it talks about how they studied it and how they came up with this. And basically, they analyzed the current protocols and found the problem that's inherent with regular TCP, the limitations. And I'm going to quote him here. It says, "The current form of TCP was originally designed in the 1980s when internet speeds were much slower and bandwidths much smaller," he said. "Now we are trying to apply it to networks that have several orders of magnitude more available bandwidth. Essentially, we're using an eyedropper to fill a water main. BIC, on the other hand, would open the floodgate." So they've been working, here it is, they're working over it for the past year, and let's see, this is, maybe you can explain this to the listeners in a second. It says that the key to BIC's speed is that it uses a binary search approach, a fairly common way to search databases, which we were talking about before the show, that allows for rapid detection of maximum network capacities with minimal loss of information. And they quote him as saying, "While it may take classical TCP 2 hours to reach the full capacity use of a 10 gigabit per second, pipe with 100 millisecond round trip time, BIC needs only a few seconds," Reese said. "The greatest challenge for the new protocol," he added, "was to fill the pipe fast enough without starving out other protocols," which is important, and he says that is a tough balance. So, yeah, I guess filling the pipe is fine, but if you take out FTP and everything else, if you take out every other protocol, I shouldn't say FTP, UDP, stuff like that, that's a problem as well. So, we don't have too much detail, but based on your knowledge of this binary search approach, what do you presume they're talking about here?
Well, like we were talking about earlier, TCP, I don't know, some of you may know, TCP IP, but TCP is Transport Layer Protocol. I really don't understand, or at least personally, I don't understand how this would make any difference. It sounds to me like they're trying to work on new types of routing protocols, a replacement for OSPF, BGP, things like that, which those have to deal with finding the fastest route as quickly as possible, which in most modern protocols or routing protocols, propagation of route information is what the slowest part of it is. And that's, to me, what it sounds like, is they're working on a way to propagate or at least to get this information and have it select the sources faster so that, when there's a large amount of bandwidth coming towards something, or I shouldn't say coming towards something, like a giant wave, but you get the point, that it can be fast enough to determine, the proper route. But, I mean, I may be completely off on this. This is a very interesting little report.
Right, and that's really why I wanted to bring up, just to at least make mention of it, because this could be huge. I mean, this could be the thing that bridges. I mean, if you look at that bandwidth that we talked about earlier, let's see, what was back 6,000 times DSL. DSL and cable modems are already on the edge of making it possible to listen to streaming. Obviously, streaming audio is not such a big deal, but streaming video.
Actually, I could tell a nice little story about that.
Okay.
Real quick, on streaming video.
Right.
We actually offer it. They offer, the company that I'm starting to work with, offers TV over DSL.
Nice.
As a competition to cable.
Very interesting. Is there really enough bandwidth to have high quality?
As far as I understand it, they have 10 megabits going to each house that has a combination of DSL and TV. And the way it works is that each encoder has its own IP address. It's an internal IP address. Although that would be really awesome if it wasn't. But each one has an internal IP address, and the set-top boxes themselves, query, the channel information for the... Or actually, I think they said they were all thin clients. It was really interesting. Apparently, I think they said they're like one of the only two places in the country that offer it. And it's really cool because they offer things like... a friend of mine was telling me, who also works there, they offer video on demand. Rather than just being like regular pay-per-view, you order a movie, it starts every 30 minutes or so. You can pause it, you can rewind it, you can do whatever you want with it, which seems to be really cool.
Well, that, I really would like to hear some more detail on it, but that
doesn't
seem...
I'll get some more later. It's only my first day, all right?
Yeah, that doesn't seem too... I mean, a DSL line's 1.5, and that's coming over copper. So I don't know where the extra, you said it was 10. There's got to be something more to the equation.
Right. I'll find out.
That could be, it's very interesting if they're trying something like that, but I'd be skeptical of how effective that would be, at least with DSL.
They've actually got, you know, a couple thousand users using it, so.
So obviously it's working.
It's completely implemented and in place.
Hmm. Well, since you're working there now, you should get free samples, right?
Actually, I think I'm supposed to, yeah.
All right. So you can fill us in and let us know, be honest, and let's see if it gives you quality. And, like, what about as far as number of channels and stuff like that? Is it just local, or is it, like, is it a true competition and has several channels, you know?
They were showing me around into the server room and things like that, and apparently they have receivers like you would have for satellite. So they have satellite receivers for each station, which feeds into an encoder. So it's limited to the number of, you have one encoder per channel. And I want to say I saw like 60 or 70 encoders.
Hmm.
So it's not a lot compared to something like, you know, DirecTV, where you have every channel known to man. But,
right.
You know, it's a viable option. It looks really, oh, and one of the coolest things, I thought this was really fat, is they had a demo. I had to go fill out some paperwork, and they had a demo, one of the demo TVs, you know, for the waiting customers.
Right.
And actually, if you have DSL phone service and TV, like when somebody calls in, the caller ID information pops up on the TV.
Yeah, I think I've heard of devices that you can buy that'll do that for you.
But I thought that was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that is. That's kind of neat. What about video recorder, DVR?
That I don't know about, but I would assume, well, obviously it's...
Because you mentioned rewinding, and that's usually a feature because you have it stored locally that you can rewind it.
Right. I don't know for sure, but, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I'll leave that alone. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, we'll get more information hopefully soon as you get more acclimated here. Man, you're going to have a rough couple of weeks, too. Working two full-time and going to school, man, it's... Woo! That's rough.
Yeah. Hopefully this semester will be over soon.
That's going to be rough. All right. Let's see. What are we time here? We got a little time, and I got a couple other smaller things I want to ease out on here. I really wish we had a little bit more technical information on that, and I'm going to research that for upcoming episodes, see if I can find out a little bit more detail of how that works and what the underlying technology is, and see if I can come up with some explanations for it. But very, very cool if that actually takes place. And it seems like that's only come up in about a year of research. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, again, I love the fact that there are universities out there that are still doing research to try to push technology ahead. I mean, TCP has been around for a long time. Yes, it works. Yeah, it still works. It still gets the job done, and we're tweaking and squeezing every last little drop of efficiency out of it. But that's no reason to stop development and looking forward towards the future, you know? So I'm very cool that there are universities doing studies like this. So NC State, I'll include those. That's part of my shout-outs to NC State and to their computer science department for doing this kind of research. Now, this one actually surprised, I don't know how this snuck up on me, this topic. Our good friends at Walmart.com, this little Project Walmart Freedom News, I guess. I wish Duel was here to yell at this one and go off about this one, but Walmart.com, apparently, I completely missed, did you know this, by the way, before I go into it, did you know that they started doing this?
Yeah, I had been looking at it about a month ago.
Yeah, I had no idea, it completely snuck up on me, but they are now offering music downloads, like iTunes, they're competing with iTunes and those type, 88 cents. For 88 cents, they're undercutting iTunes 99 cents, well, they're 88, they're, you know, Walmart low prices every day, whatever the hell their slogans are nowadays. They're undercutting them for 88 cents. You can download music tracks and have legal right to the digital version of whatever song you want. Or full albums they even have for sale, I looked there. And I went and checked this out, and they also do, like, Netflix, which is where you pay a monthly fee and you can rent all the DVDs you want, and you mail them back. Apparently, they've knocked that off, too. They're doing a similar thing. You can rent DVDs from them. I never saw or heard anything about this. It completely snuck up on me. I'm sure Duel probably knew about it, like I said. But that completely blew me away. So we got to do some research on that. I'm not signing up for it, but somebody will. We'll get Duel to do it. He's like Mikey. He'll try anything. They have Now, I didn't go. I didn't try it. I'm not gonna try it. But they're gonna use, I'm assuming. I don't ever remember there ever being a digital copyright scheme that actually worked. Everything that I've seen proposed and put out there was all busted. Some super easily, and we've talked about in the past. But apparently they are trying this again. And they're putting limits, which I assume is in some sort of digital watermark or something, some sort of copyright scheme, that allows you, according to this is Walmart. Now, I assume iTunes is something similar. But Walmart allows you to do three things. Got to download music to one computer and to back it up to two additional computers. Now, I don't know how in the world they count or know how many computers you've backed it up to or whatever, unless they're somehow communicating with each other. I mean, can you figure... I don't know how that one could be...
Not really big on the DRM.
That's not... Yeah. The second thing is it'll let you make 10 burns to a CD. I don't see why it should have any limit, but 10 seems like it's more than enough. I mean, if I ever burn, I'm burning one or two, you know? And three, to make unlimited transfers to portable players. Well, that's... You know, that's what the majority of people are going to do with it, I would think. Put it on their iPods or their whatever so they can go jogging, so they can listen to it when they're on the bus, whatever. Not sure about this. What happens if I burn it to a CD and then take it to work and put it on the computer from the CD? Or can I not... I got to try this to know the details of it. If anybody has tried it, by all means, email us radio@binrev.com if you've tried this and let us know. I do know that by reading about it, doing a little bit of research, I know that, first of all, it's Microsoft Windows only, requires Microsoft Media Player 9. And for those of you who know, 9 is when they really started going heavy on the digital rights management, the DRM, Voodoo Hal was mentioning. And I have not upgraded to Media Player 9. I knew they were putting that crap in there, so I purposely have not upgraded to it yet. So I'm still using, I guess, 7, really, because I don't think I've updated in a while. Always use the older versions, unless you have a reason to upgrade to these new ones. At work, I upgraded it because I think some website I went to required it, and I wanted to watch the video, so... And who cares? It's a work computer. Big deal. But these downloaded songs are not MP3 format. They're WMA.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're Microsoft's Windows Media Author. Is that what... Audio or something? Is that what it stands for? It's their,
I think so.
It's their proprietary Microsoft format. It's not MP3. You can't get Ogg Vorbis out of it. It's Microsoft-only format. So if you've got a CD deck in your car or something that only supports MP3, you're screwed. You know, which I think really sucks. This is something that you just simply can't use. So that's a little lame, but I guess they're not aiming at people who want to do that. They're aiming at Walmart customers, frankly. I'll just let you read into that what you want to.
I'll leave that statement alone.
Exactly. I'll let you read whatever you want to read into that. They're aiming at the people who buy... You know, white tail hunting, deer hunting, fishing, you know.
Oh, those are the best games, yeah, man. Come
right. on. Now, don't knock the fishing. I'm down with the fishing. But the whole, yeah. Anyway, the game. Why would you want to play a fishing game when you could go out and fish, though? That's the thing I've never figured out.
Well, if you're a geek like me, the sun is a problem.
Yeah. Boy, I could give you a story. I'm actually suffering from a little sunburn right now. Spent the weekend down at the Haitian Swap Shop. Got a little footage I might share with the audience soon. Yeah, that's how's that for a teaser? Now here's the questions I have about this, too. First of all, is it going to be interchangeable with other types, like iTunes, for example? Can I combine all of these into one application and have them mixed and matched and stuff like that? And mix them with, what if I actually own an audio CD and I want to rip it to put it to my portable device, my iPod, my portable player, something like that. Can I mix and match these with no problems? Is it going to give me all kinds of errors and it doesn't know what's legal and what's not, or what it thinks is copyrighted and what it doesn't know is copyrighted? You know, that's a concern. You know, I don't know how they're going to handle that or if that's going to be a problem or not. Maybe they have, I don't know. And frankly, because it's Walmart, can I get the full, original, unedited version of a song? You know, are they going to give me the edited where they take out the bad words? Because that's what they do with the CDs.
Oh, Lord, no, please.
They've got to, I'm certain they must do it. I mean, you're going to get controversial songs. You're going to find Cop Killer at Walmart. You know, are you gonna find? Are you gonna find Madonna in their? What was it? I don't know what her latest controversial song is. Are you gonna find this stuff from Walmart.com? Are they gonna play? Or are they gonna do the editing thing? And I presume they're gonna edit. I'm sure. Why would they do anything different on the internet than they're doing in the stores? And, you know, again, who's gonna do that? I don't know. Anyway. And then when it breaks down to, I was looking at one earlier, and I think it was about $10 to download the whole CD. Well, frankly, you can go to Walmart and buy the CDs, most of the cheap CDs, mass marketed crap for around $10-$12. I don't mind paying a couple extra bucks for have the liner and stuff like that in that.
Right.
You know? Of course, I'm not paying that much for a CD anyway, but I'm just saying. So, and of course, the last word on this is, after reading through their instructions and the How It Works pages and stuff, this is my favorite part of the whole thing. It says, quote, note, music downloads from Walmart.com will not play on the Apple Macintosh or Linux operating systems.
Yeah, that's one of the problems I ran into, and I kind of, because I brought Bland into, I remember talking him into trying out iTunes, is that, yeah, anything you download off iTunes, you also can't take around. There's nothing on Linux that'll play it. Windows will at least play it, but that's only through the Windows iTunes client.
Oh, see, that's just...
I have a pet peeve about that as well. You know that whole Pepsi iTunes thing, right?
Right.
I had to have bought, like, 30 Pepsis. I think we won, like, 20 songs. I think my kidneys started failing before I decided to call it quits.
Right.
Anyway, I ended up having to format and forgot to back up those AAC files, the downloads.
Is that what they are, AAC files?
Yeah. There is no way to recover them, apparently. Apparently Apple says, well, okay, this what you do with them is what you do with them. Obviously I have record of me purchasing them.
All right, so you can't go back and re-download it?
Exactly, but they won't let you. Or at least I can't find it anywhere. And if anyone knows an easy way, definitely email me at voodoohowitsinrev.com. I would love to know because I'd like to get my damn things back.
Yeah, that's lame. Is that just because of the Pepsi ones? Because the Pepsi free iTunes ones you got? Or is that for all of the other iTunes stuff?
See, honestly, I had MP3s that are songs that I had purchased myself as well. So that's apparently anything.
Now, that's not cool at all. Can you demand your money back? I guess not on a free thing, huh? All right. Well, we are running low. I got one funny little story here that, because I always bitch about how Japan gets cool phones and stuff, and they takes a year or longer before they ever come here. Actually, it's getting longer and longer. Instead of shorter time for us to catch up, it's becoming, 2 years before we see the cool phones here. And cell phones are so popular in Japan. This is just a funny story to end with. The big trend going on over there right now is cell phone cases that are waterproof, that you can put your cell phone inside of it and put it in the shower with you so that you can talk on your cell phone in the shower in the morning. Everyone over there uses their cell phone so much more than us, and they're so much more popular and in use over there that they actually have a need for a device like this, first of all. First of all, that's amazing that they actually have this great tool and they use it every day. Now, maybe it's crossing a line using it in the shower, I don't know, and there's probably a prawn joke there, a phone sex joke somewhere that I'm not going to touch. I'll just leave that one alone. But we can't even get good phones, like I said. We can't even get good phones over here in a reasonable amount of time compared to what they get. So, that sucks. Period. That sucks. And, of course, we can't, it's not like a... You can order other region DVDs or other electronics from other countries and stuff like that because they're using different technology that wouldn't work over here anyway. Even if you did order it and have it shipped from overseas, global economy and all, we don't have the technology. We can't make it work over here. So, come on, people. Catch up. Catch up, United States. Somebody pay attention. Damn. Talking out of my ass here. Nobody's listening. Speaking of talking out of my ass, how's that for a segue? Let's close up the show.
All right.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I was so bummed, but damn it, I'm so mad at myself. I had this whole nice thing all typed up. I had the article ready to go, big breakthrough announcement, and Ugh! And I don't know, I don't think it works. Damn it, after all. It looked like it worked, and we tested it, didn't we? All right, shout-out. I got a few shout-outs, so why don't you go first? You got any shout-outs you want to give?
Big shout-outs to Hack and Slash. Welcome aboard. We always need slaves. I mean, welcome aboard.
Yep. And, dude, the Photoshop thread in the forums is hilarious.
I forgot. Can I do a quick announcement?
Absolutely.
I have a friend of mine and I have been talking about this for a while. Some of you have seen Travelocity's new ads with the gnome, the roaming gnome.
Right.
If you've seen it. Anyway, we were sitting around one night and we had this great idea to create a site called darksidegnome.com and take the little gnome, the same gnome from the pictures, and we wanted to actually take him to like strip clubs and things and have pictures of him with strippers and have him with big beer bottles. But unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. So I'm going to need some people who are decent with GIMP to help us out if you want to help with this little project. It's nothing special, but it's just something we're bored and want to do.
This is just a for fun thing. What is it called again?
DarksideGnome.com, and hopefully we'll be registering that in the next couple of days.
You better register it before this airs.
if somebody buys it...
We'll kick your ass. I'll kick you in the nuts.
I'll sick stank on you.
Yeah, I'll kick you in the nuts. Respect my authority. I'm sorry, that's my Cartman. That's as good as it gets.
But yeah, it's just one of those for fun projects, but it was just one of those things that came about, and it was actually really funny when we were thinking about it. Just all the really bad pictures, like White Sword in his porn shop, if we could get some pictures of the gnome with a giant.
Were you drunk when you came up with this?
We'll leave it alone from there.
Were you drunk when you came up with this idea?
You what?
I said, were you drunk when you came up with this idea?
Completely sober, sadly enough.
Oh, man, sadly enough is right. Oh, okay, yeah, shouts to Hack and Slash, I second that. On the show last week, all-time high ratings, so Hack and Slash is the man, the Mac Daddy, and now officially the youngest member of DDP.
So,
you got anything else?
Nope, that's it for me.
All right, I'm going to shout out, I mentioned it earlier, but I'll give a shout out to Decoder for having me on Default Radio, lots and lots of fun. Always makes me laugh. That was a blast. I want to try to do that more often if he would have me on the show. Him and In Theory have do such... It's such a fun show. And to Jason Scott over at TexFiles.com, he's working on a BBS documentary. So, and it's actually at BBSDocumentary.com. There's a plug. Go check that out. He's got a lot of great footage, good quality, and it looks like it's very well put together. He's doing a great job on that. So shouts to him. And email us again, radio@benrev.com, if you have anything to add to anything, or corrections, or rants, or death threats, whatever. Send them to radio@benrev.com. Again, I'm going to remind people, send articles for Binary Revolution 2.2, articles@benrev.com. It is time. It is long overtime if you want to get in. And, frankly, if you want to keep the magazine going, we need submissions. We need good submissions. So we've only gotten a few submissions that are even worthwhile, and then some idiot goes and forwards one to 2600.
Damned fool.
I know. What the hell was he thinking? So hopefully that was... Oh, what an idiot I am. Boy, I'm just having a bad week. I'm just having such a bad week. Closing music tonight is from Tree Wave, which actually is used in that BBS documentary from Jason Scott. And it's called May Banners, and I heard that, thought it was pretty cool, so I'm going to close out the show with that, and I think that is going to do it. So, Voodoo Hal, thank you again for being on the show.
I just got the module finished, and RFA is now in the playlist.
Oh, you did that while we were recording?
Yeah.
See, now that is multitasking. See, what is it called? The dual processing at its finest there. So, yeah, we'll wrap it up. Hopefully I'll be a little bit more upbeat next time. See, now, if actually I pull this out of the fire, and I actually figure out that I can get this hack to work after all, then I'm going to be elated on the next episode. I'm going to be double my normal self next episode. Or I might just be even more unbearable than usual. But if you want to find out, you'll have to tune in next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Peace. It's